Well, I want to thank you once again for joining us for our online service this morning. And I want you to be patient with us. This is our first time to do an online service, and so please be patient. We're new at this. But I'm excited today what God has in store for us in His Word, and I'd like to speak today on God's purpose for the COVID-19 pandemic. Is it really possible that we could know the purpose that God has for this pandemic? That's a question I want to address today. You know, I shared this past week through some online videos on our Facebook page. One of them was Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1. And the Bible there says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And we learn that word season, it has the idea, the Hebrew word means an appointed season. And so it's saying that God has appointed the times and the seasons of our lives, both the happy times, the sad times, the victories, the defeats, the good times, the bad times. From the time of our birth to the time of our death, God is using all the seasons of life to accomplish His divine purposes. And so back to answering that question, is it really possible that we can know what God's purpose is for COVID-19 pandemic? Why is it that God has allowed this to come in our world and come into our country here in America? You know, I have to say that we cannot know or understand everything that God is doing in and through this pandemic, but there are some things that we can definitely know. And I want to share with you some of those things that we can know for sure that God is doing and how God is going to use this pandemic to His honor and His glory. The first thing I want to share with you is I know for sure that God does not take any pleasure in death. He does not take any pleasure in death. You know, this pandemic has caused death all across the world, and God does not take any pleasure in that. You know, some people have a hard time in their hearts and minds. If God allowed this, then how could you say that He does not take any pleasure in death? Well, I want to read a scripture in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32. This is what the Lord said through the prophet. He said, "For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, said the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye." And so here the prophet, he speaks for God, and he says, "I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth." God does not have any pleasure in death. And I want to just say this, that death did not come into this world because of the coronavirus. It came into the world because of a far worse virus, and that virus is called sin. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now here's the sad news about that verse. The sad news about this virus called sin. Every single person in the world today has been infected by this virus called sin. Ever since the fall of man, the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, this world has suffered under the curse of sin. You know, death came as a consequence of sin. But it wasn't that way in the beginning. When God created all things, the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, "And God saw that everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." And so God, when He first created everything, was very good. There was no curse. There was no pandemics. There was no plagues. There was no death, no sickness. None of these things in the beginning. But sin came, the Bible says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Now Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death." And so I want you to understand that the coronavirus did not cause death in the beginning. Yes, it can cause death, but it's not the ultimate cause of death. The ultimate cause of death is sin. But I'm so thankful that there in Romans 6:23 that Paul didn't stop with the wages of sin is death. He went on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the good news of the gospel. I'm so thankful that in spite of the fact that sin has brought death into our world, sin has brought the curse upon our world, sin has brought all these viruses and pandemics and death, but God has given us eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, that verse really highlights the love of God. It shows us that God does not take any pleasure in the death of the wicked because God gave His only begotten Son to take our place on the cross. He went to take our place as the Lamb of God to die for our sins. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53 that Jesus, the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. So He was our sin bearer. He came to bear our sin punishment by dying on that cross. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, He tells us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so Christ, He died for us in our place. And so we know that God does not take any pleasure in death at all, because God sent His Son to give us eternal life. Most of you are familiar with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So God sent His Son into the world that we might be saved. You know, when the Apostle Peter was writing about the end times and in 2 Peter chapter 3, and he talked about the end times coming as a thief in the night. And, you know, when we look around, there are a lot of signs that we may be getting near to the end times. But the Apostle Peter, he said to all the people that were scoffing and mocking about the second coming of Jesus, because they were saying, you know, all these years have passed and He's not come, and so God must be slack in His promise. And Peter said in chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so here we see again that God does not take any pleasure in death. It says here that He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so that's one thing I can know about this virus, is that God did not purpose for man to die by this virus, but He purposed that through this virus, man might come to know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. You know, I want you to think about that. God did not create this virus, but God allowed this virus to accomplish one of His greater purposes in the world, which is to save those who are lost without Christ. You know, we're living in a time of fear and panic and despair all across the world, and this has caused many hearts to now be open to hearing the gospel for the first time. Not only that, but majority of the people who do not know Christ will never set foot in a church. For whatever reason. But now with most church services temporarily being suspended and going online to reach a massive audience of people, not only in their community, but all across America and all across the world, people are hearing the gospel being preached online. What an amazing opportunity that God has given us. And, you know, we're not able to come and assemble and meet as a church body this morning. But think about the opportunity we have to preach the gospel to the masses through online services. And I would say that this type of church is not normal, but we're living in a time when it's necessary for the next couple of weeks for us to do this. But I just think that God has given us this door to reach a lot of people otherwise we wouldn't reach. Jesus said in Revelation 3 and verse 8, "Behold, I have set before you an open door which no man can shut." You know, he's talking here about a door of opportunity. I was reading about a church this past Sunday. They went online and they reported a 400% increase from their regular attendance to the online viewing of their services. They had 231,277 people watch their online service this past Sunday. At the end of the message, the pastor gave the people an opportunity to put their faith and trust in Christ. And 1,438 people responded online that they had trusted Christ. That's just one example, and I'm sure there's thousands of them like that that we're going to see by the time that all this is over. We're going to see that God had purposed these things for His good, for His honor, and for His glory. You know, if you're listening online today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to urge you at this time to consider what Christ has done for you. I want you to consider that God does not take any pleasure in death. He's not willing that any should perish. That is including you. He's not willing that you perish and spend an eternity separated from Him in a place the Bible calls hell. But God would rather you come to repentance. And what that word repentance means, it simply means a turning around. It's like a 360 degree turnaround. Or 180 turnaround. It's like you're walking one direction and you realize that the road that you're on is the wrong road. It's the road of sin. It's the broad path that leads you to destruction. And now you realize that you're on that road and you realize that Jesus Christ, He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And so you turn from that way and you turn to the way, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He said in John 14:6, "No man cometh to the Father except by me." And so the only way we as sinners can come to the Father, who is perfectly holy, He's a perfectly holy God, the only way we as sinners can escape death and escape the punishment of our sin in hell forever is to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and put our faith and trust in Him as our Lord and Savior. When we do that, when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible tells us we shall be saved. You know, that's a wonderful truth that we have in the Word of God. You know, Jesus said, "All that come to me, I'll no wise cast out." And so if you're here today and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, you do not have to be in present inside a church building in a church service to trust Christ as your Savior. You can trust Him right where you are. You can realize that you are a sinner and realize that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that He died for your sins. He paid for your punishment on the cross. And that He was buried. And the Bible says the third day He rose again from the grave. And He's a living Savior. He's able to save all that come to God by Him, seeing that He ever lives. And so He knows your heart because He is God. He knows right now where you are. And His Holy Spirit is speaking to you today, calling you to come to Jesus. And Jesus promises in Matthew 28, all that He says, "Come unto me and all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so you can come to Him by faith today. You can come to Him and say, "Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know I'm on that broad path to destruction. I know that I'm lost. But I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again. I believe that, and I'm trusting Jesus Christ and Jesus alone to save me. You know, I want to go back to that verse in Romans 6:23. He said, the wages of sin is what? Death. That's the broad path leads to death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So eternal life is, it's a gift. It's not something you can earn. It's not something that by good works, going to church or trying to be a good person, trying to change your life, you cannot earn salvation. And Ephesians 2:8 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so salvation, eternal life, is a gift God offers you. And He said that if you are, if you would believe and receive that gift by faith, then you shall be saved. So I want to encourage you today, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, understand that God does not take pleasure in death. He does not take pleasure in people being lost and going to hell. He does not take any pleasure in that whatsoever, but he's not willing that you perish, but that you come to repentance and trust Christ as your Savior. But there's another truth I want to share that we can know. We can know today as believers that God is working through this COVID-19 virus for our good. If you have come to Christ and you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, you belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to you. You're His dear, precious child. You've been adopted into the family of God by receiving Jesus Christ. Like John 1:12 tells us, for as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so if you're a child of God, I want you to know that God, He is working through this season that we're going through, this appointed season. And by the way, this season is not permanent. The COVID-19 is not permanent. It's just a season we're going through, and He's using it for our good. And the last time I checked, God is still on the throne. And the last time I checked, Romans 8:28 is still in the Bible. You know, we can know that God is at work for our good, because here's what Romans 8:28 says. And we know. I like how it starts. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. So what I want you to notice, I read verse 29 along with verse 28. He says we can know God's working together all things for good. That's what He says. He's working together all things for good to them that love God. You know, that's what a true child of God, a description here of a true child of God. He's a person who loves God. We love Him because He first loved us. And He says to them who are the called according to His purpose. And there we see that word purpose. We're called according to His purpose. God has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for my life. And He tells us the next verse, verse 29 that we read, that it is that we be conformed to the image of His Son. So God is using this virus. He's using this for our good to conform us to the image of His Son. Well, how so, preacher? Well, it seems pretty obvious to me that many churches worldwide have become very complacent. Very complacent about our mission, our God-given mission to make, mature, and mobilize disciples of Jesus in all nations by His power and His presence. We become complacent about that. Most Christians today have lost their spiritual passion for Jesus. They've left their first love, just like the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And so I think one of the things God is addressing in this COVID-19 virus is because we have been forced, well, not really forced, we've been asked not to come together in groups of more than 10. We've been asked by our president for the next couple of weeks to practice social distancing. We've been asked by our governor of Texas to abide by these guidelines for our good. It's for our protection to stop and flatten the curve of this virus. And I think as Christians, it's our responsibility to obey government as long as it doesn't go against what God commanded. And they're not trying to shut down our churches. They're not coming against and saying we can't worship anymore, or we can't read our Bible, we can't worship in groups of 10 or less. They're not saying that at all. But what I want you to understand is that God is allowing this quarantine, and he's temporarily taking away some things that we take for granted. I think about just going to the grocery store, and when we go to the grocery store, we can't always find these days what we went there to buy for our family. A lot of the shelves are empty. We've taken that for granted for so many years, and God has taken that away. Our kids can't go to school. You're not able to come to church and worship in your church together as a church body. You think about the fact that we don't have any sports. We're stuck at home and we can't even watch sports on TV because there are none. And so a lot of things God has taken away because I believe that God wants us to examine our hearts. You know, one of the things I think he's addressing is the idols of our heart. The idols of our heart. I believe a lot of Christians have idols in their hearts. You know, why do I say that? Well, when God sent those plagues in Egypt, in Exodus, to bring his children out of Egypt, the Bible tells us in Exodus 12:12 that, for I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. God sent all those plagues, and the last plague, the death of the firstborn, was because he was executing judgment on the gods, the idols of the Egyptians. And you know, most of the time we think of idols as things that we can see, such as an image. And so we think, well, we don't worship an image, we don't worship an idol. But I want you to understand that idols are really God replacements. Idols are God replacements. I want to read a verse or some verses here in Romans chapter 1 really quick, and I want you to see something here. He's talking about in verse 23. He says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto four-footed beasts, birds, and creeping things. And then he says in verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I want you to notice something here. They didn't stop worshiping. They didn't stop worshiping. But we see a word used twice in verse 23 and verse 25, the word change. They didn't stop worshiping, but they changed who they were worshiping. They changed the object of their worship. They were idolaters in their hearts, worshiping the creature more than the Creator. I'm wondering if that's what's happening in among our churches today, that we have so many idols that we're worshiping. And I want you to notice it said they change the truth of God into a lie. What is the lie? Here's the lie. The lie is that there's something better than God. There's something that satisfies more than a relationship with God. An idol is whatever replaces God in your life. That's the lie. And the lie that we believe that, you know, we can be more satisfied with sports than we can with God. That we can be more satisfied with pleasure than we can with God. That's the lie. You see, if you follow on in this chapter, and I don't have time to read it, in verse 29 through 32, he gives this laundry list of sins And really what it is, it's a worship disorder that's taking place. Because if they change the truth to a lie, they begin to worship the creature. They begin to worship things, pleasure. They begin to worship wealth and money and fame and all these things instead of worshiping God. And so they change the truth of God into a lie. And because of this worship disorder, we see all these wicked and evil behaviors. You know, Jesus said, for out of the heart cometh these things. It's really a heart problem. And so I want you to think about this. Do you think the Lord has put everything in our lives on pause for a reason? That God has taken away many of our idols, such as sports, entertainment, education, money, travel, and jobs. You know, I think it could be that he's allowing these things to be taken away for us temporarily to get us to do some hard searching, to get our eyes back on him, to be still and to know that he is God. To go back to our first love. You know, as Jesus told that church, repent and return and do first works. Go back to your first love. You know, this is a time for God's people to do some heart searching. To ask ourselves if we have some idols in our hearts that need to be destroyed. That's what we need to be doing, Christians. We need to be praying. We need to be searching our hearts during this time. And let God's purpose be fulfilled in us. To bring us more into Christ-likeness. To bring us more closer to God in our relationship with Him. To get rid of some of these idols in our hearts. And to get back to loving God and worshiping God with all of our heart, our mind, and our soul. Now I want to close with a verse, two verses in 2 Chronicles, and then we're going to pray. In 2 Chronicles 7, God has given us a great promise in verse 14, but I want to read verse 13 because he says, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain. And I want you to think about this. Over in Australia, not too long ago, there was no rain and there was fires burning up the country of Australia. And he said, or if I command the locusts to devour the land. And you know, just earlier this month in Africa, there's millions of locusts that are eating the crops. And many of the farmers there in Africa and Kenya are really concerned about having any food because they can't plant because of all these locusts. He goes on, he says, or if I send pestilence among my people. You know, that's what we're experiencing now. We're experiencing pestilence, a pandemic that's gone all across our world. God tells his people here, he said, if I shut up heaven, there's no rain. If I command the locusts, if I send pestilence, then he says in verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. What a great promise. What a great promise. As we think about what's going on around the world, really, we as God's people, we have God's ear. You know, a lost man that's separated from God because of sin, he doesn't have the ear of God, but we do. We've been brought into relationship with God by the Lord Jesus Christ because his blood was shed for us and his blood was applied to us by faith. And so we have the ear of God. We need to be crying out to God, be praying to God during this time. We need to be seeking God's face. We need to be humbling ourselves. We need to be turning from our wicked ways. That includes the idols of our hearts. We need to turn away from all those things and turn back to God. And he said, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Christian, this is a time we should pray together. I want you to join me as I go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your word. Lord, what would we do in a time like this if we did not have the light of your word? I thank you, Father, that you've shown us in your word that, Lord, you take no pleasure in death. You take no pleasure in the death of the wicked or the righteous. Lord, you desire that we turn from our wicked ways and turn to you
and live. Lord, I'm thankful that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, I'm so grateful, dear Lord, that there's someone listening to this online broadcast that they can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They can turn in faith to Jesus and put their faith in the promises of your word. Your word which tells us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in our hearts that God had raised thee from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Lord, you promised that if we believe in the heart and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus will be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, I pray for those listening that have not trusted Christ. I pray that at this moment that they would call out to you for salvation, for eternal life, for forgiveness of their sins. And Lord, I also want to pray for your people that are listening. Lord, that we'd take comfort in the fact that you have appointed seasons and times in our lives, and that you're going to make everything beautiful in your time. Lord, we need to just rest in you. We just need to trust your plan and your purpose. You are sovereign and you love us and we're your treasure. Lord, I'm thankful for that. And Lord, you desire to bring about our good through all of this. You want us to be conformed more to the image of your Son. I pray, Lord, during this time as we have many things that we can't enjoy at this time, Lord, things of the world, Lord, I pray we'd take this time to spend more time with you in prayer, more time meditating in your word, more time seeking your face, more time examining our heart and confessing our sins before you. God, may through this virus, Lord, your people would turn back to you, that their hearts would be turned back so that, Lord, you will heal our land and bring revival like we've never seen before. Lord, we're trusting you to work and fulfill all of your will and your purposes. And Lord, thank you once again for all that you've done for us. Thank you for your love. And I pray this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. I just want to say before we end this broadcast, if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, if you have called upon Him for salvation, or if you have more questions about how to trust Christ as your Savior, we'd like you to email us. You'll see the email on this video. Email us and we'll be glad to get in touch with you and help you with your questions. Or you can, if you trusted Christ or you enjoyed the message, please share that in the comment section or send us a private message. We would really love to hear from you. If you've listened to this message today. So thank you and may God bless you and protect you and your family at this time.